Hey everyone, welcome to the Bird Dog Podcast. My name is Tyce Erickson and I will be your host today. And glad you guys are here with us and listening in today's episode. I hope it'll help you guys out. And I can share some information with you guys that will be beneficial to you. Man, I like that song. That just gets me pumped up. So anyhow, it's been a little while since we've jumped on here and done a podcast. Just been busy with training and doing a little hunting, getting these dogs out and enjoying this time of year when we really get to put these dogs to work. I love this time of year. My analogy is, you know, it's like football. You train all summer and you're doing all these drills, you're doing all this work, and now we're putting the players in the game. We're putting them up against the elements. We're putting them up against different scenarios and setups, and we're seeing how they play the game. So it's fun. I love working young dogs. I love working old dogs. Young dogs, obviously, it's awesome when they do a good job and the training that you've done pulls through, and it's also kind of fun to work through challenges with them. So enjoy the journey. Don't stress out if your dog's not doing everything exactly the way you thought it would do, and go back in the yard, work the dog, work through those things, and then get them back out in the field and put it to the test. So just stay positive and have fun. In today's episode, this podcast, I wanted to talk about some things that could be beneficial to you guys that I've learned over the years. And this actually comes to the health of dogs and treating dogs when there's issues and stuff like that. So I'm just going to dive in. I don't know how long this is going to go. We'll see what my brain can come up with as we're talking about these things and kind of thinking about my past experiences. But first, let's talk about some staples I would recommend having around the house or in the field or in your car or wherever you train. But one of the things I would have first is some bandage. Some of the bandage that's the adhesive bandage, you guys have probably seen it. People will wrap animals' legs, maybe if you get an injury at the vet's office, or, you know, or you'll see them on horses, things like that. But have some adhesive bandage on hand. Wouldn't hurt to also have some gauze on hand that you can, if the dog is in the brush and it happens to, you know, get a wound of some sort, you can put that gauze on there, wrap that up nice and tight to keep debris or stuff from getting in there. And then you can get that dog to the vet's office and get some help with it. Something also I've added to my first aid kit, I guess you could say, or having on hand is a stapler. You can get on Amazon or online some of these places and actually find staplers that are pretty inexpensive, where if you get a big enough wound or a deep enough wound, you can actually have someone help you hold it and staple that wound together. And so debris and stuff is not getting in that. I would recommend having some iodine also on hand. You can dilute that iodine down and flush the wound, staple it back together, keep an eye on the wound, and dogs are pretty tough animals. Generally, they're going to make the recoveries are generally pretty quick. They do well as long as you keep the things clean and also avoid infection. Now, also, I'm going to start with this. I am not a veterinarian. Don't claim to be a veterinarian. So take these things I recommend with a grain of salt. These are things I've just used or I've seen that seems to work, but I do not claim to be a veterinarian. And so just do your best with it, but hopefully these will help you out. I don't think it hurts to have some of these things on hand. These days, veterinarians can be hard to get into. I mean, I've had dogs get an injury and I say, hey, when can I get them in? And they say in a week or two. Or, yeah, you can come after hours and it's going to be double or triple the amount. Or you can go to an emergency clinic and it's going to be that much more money. So sometimes we need to take care of these dogs right away. We need to get them in quick and we don't have time to mess around with scheduling an appointment with the vet. So some of these things could necessarily either save your dog's life, help out with infection, which obviously ultimately could save a dog's life. So iodine, I'd recommend having on hand. A stapler, I'd recommend having on hand. Ace bandage wrap with some gauze that you can wrap a wound up, have on hand. That never hurts. And then also something I do like if you get sore pads, it's called Mushers. I can look it up here on Amazon, I think is where you find it. Bear with me here. I think it's called Mushers Feet. Okay, Mushers Secret Paw Wax. So I don't even know what's in it, honestly, but if you get dogs with sore feet, maybe you're doing a lot of chukar hunting with your upland dog and the dogs are getting in the rocks, tearing up their feet, or sometimes in the winter, your dogs will just get dry feet depending on what they're on. Maybe if your dog's on concrete and he's really active, sometimes they can get sore pads. It just has some oils or moisturizing content. You can jump on there and really look in to what's in it. It says moisturizing dog balm that creates an invisible barrier that protects and heals dry cracked paws, all natural with vitamin E and food grade ingredients. So it's good stuff. We usually always try to keep it on hand. Occasionally we get dogs in that come in for training and they're just kind of nutsos in their dog run. And so if they do get sore spots on their feet, we'll try that Musher Secret. So that's a little tip for you to get. Looking here on Amazon, it's $15.99. You can get it on Prime. So pretty cheap, but worth having on hand. So the stapler, some of that Musher's Paw Secret, that's a really good one to use. And then those are some good things to have. Now I'm going to talk about some other stuff that you can use. Another antibiotic I would recommend having on hand is metronidazole. Metronidazole is, I've used it for Giardia and other gut issues. Generally, again, I'm not a vet. I'm just going off practical real life use experience here. But if your dog gets into nasty water and all of a sudden it has severe diarrhea, it doesn't seem to be getting better, and you feel like it's picked up a gut, something in its gut, I have given the dogs metronidazole, and it seems to clean those out. I typically will give the dog 500 milligrams twice a day, anywhere from 8 to 10 days, and usually it will clear that right out. Metronidazole is an antibiotic and has to be prescribed by a veterinarian. And so lots of times they won't just give you a bottle of metronidazole because there are potential side effects that can come from metronidazole being used. And I'm actually going to talk about those here. So potential side effects, I'll just kind of read them to you, are... It says here, metronidazole is an antibiotic medication commonly used in veterinarian medicine to treat a range of bacterial and protozoal infections in dogs. It is effective against a variety of anaerobic bacteria, which thrive in low oxygen environments and certain types of parasites. So, it can help with bacterial infections, protozoal infections, inflammatory bowel disease, periodontal disease also, abscess and wound infections. So here's under that, it says metronidazole can be prescribed for treating abscesses and deep wound infections where anaerobic bacteria are implicated. So again, and underneath this that I'm reading here online, it says it is important to note that metronidazole should be only be used under the guidance of a veterinarian and as prescribed. So with all antibiotics, you're going to see that they should be prescribed under a veterinarian. I'm going to talk about the side effects of metronidazole, which I think the risk is kind of worth having it on hand, but gastrointestinal upset is a most commonly reported side effect, may include symptoms like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, loss of appetite. Another side effect of metronidazole is neurological symptoms. In rare cases, high doses of prolonged use of metronidazole can lead to neurological side effects. These may include disorientation, incoordination, or seizures. If any of these symptoms occur, obviously call your vet. Allergic reactions. Some dogs may be hypersensitive to metronidazole, leading to allergic reactions. Signs of allergic reaction may include itching, hives, swelling of the face, extremities, or difficulty breathing. Darkening of the urine, stomach pain or cramping. In some cases, dogs may experience abdominal discomfort while taking metronidazole. Dry mouth. Metronidazole can lead to temporary decrease in saliva production, causing a dry or tacky mouth feeling in the mouth. So I've given dogs metronidazole over the years, and the only one of those that I have noticed on the looking at from the outside is dry mouth. Sometimes you put that pill in their mouth, it's almost like it's just, I don't know, they kind of get something dry in their mouth. And so it can be sometimes a little hard to get down. So you want to get it back in the throat, get it down quick. And so they don't get that dry mouth. So talking about metronidazole, since lots of times you cannot get it from your vet, and if you want to have a bottle on hand just to be safe in case you think your dog has Giardia or some of these issues or picked up something where there's blood in the stools and the dog, you think it needs kind of a clean out of the gut. Again, take this with caution, right? Sometimes you can just feed the dog something different. And the dog can have an upset stomach. You don't want to just throw antibiotics at them at any time. But if you're seeing prolonged 4 or 5 days, 5, 6 days of where there's blood in the stools, diarrhea, and it's something, and you can't get that dog into a veterinarian office, I would recommend personally, this is Ty speaking, again, I'm not a vet, to try giving him metronidazole. I think I haven't seen any side effects besides maybe a little bit of dry mouth for a minute. And a lot of times the dog's gut will heal right up and they'll get feeling better and they're back to normal. So it could save you some money, save you some time. Having this on hand is kind of part of your first aid kit. Yeah, you could say. So I had a client one time showed up. He couldn't get his dog into the vet. He was going out of town. The dog was lethargic, had diarrhea. He didn't know what was going on. And there's blood in his stools. And I just said, listen, I can't take, he wanted me to board the dog for him. I said, I don't want this, whatever he has going on around my other dogs. And so I gave him some metronidazole, said, hey, if you want to try this, it's totally up to you. Do this. I gave him about 4 or 5 days worth of the medication, gave it to the dog, said dog bounced back, was fine. Didn't have an issue since. So somewhere along the line, hunting that dog or getting it in dirty water, that dog had picked up something that was bothering that dog's stomach. So let's talk about how to get metronidazole. Okay, the only way I know around this, I'm going to tell you this little secret here, is through the aquatic pharmacies. So aquatic pharmacies, you can actually get antibiotics for fish. Now, according to my knowledge, again, I'm no drug expert here, all I've seen is just going off the experience that it's pretty much the same thing. So, but they call it, to get around the legalities of it, they call it fish zol, metronidazole, fish zol. They also have amoxicillin, so it's like fishicillin or whatever you want to call it. But I personally feel like it's as good as any of your human grade stuff. Now, that's up to you. I haven't taken it as a human. But if things got really too bad and I couldn't get into a doctor, I would maybe consider it. But anyways, for dogs, I have not had any issues. They do. It does come in a powder form, or you can also get it in a pill. I buy them in 500 milligram pills, and generally like a larger dog, like most of the dogs we work with, Labradors, Retrievers, German Shorthair Pointers, those type of, that size of dog, I'd say 40, 50 pounds and up, I'll usually give them 500 milligrams twice a day for about 8 to 10 days, and that usually seems to do the job. Now, if you're giving your dog this medication and it's not doing anything after that time and it's not cleaning it up, then you're going to want to make sure you get that dog into the vet. Or it wouldn't hurt to schedule a vet appointment. And if they can't get you in for a week or two, it's up to you if you want to take that chance and give your dog some metronidazole, clear out that gut, and the dog might bounce back and be fine. What I will see generally when I feed them, when if I give them a dog metronidazole, I will not generally give them as much food. My thought process is if you give them a ton of food and they eat that food, that drug is going to be a little more absorbed into the food. And I want that drug to kind of go into the gut and really work and not be absorbed in the food. So generally I feed the dog a little bit lighter, maybe half as much as I generally do. And that just seems to work on the gut better that way. Now, what you'll see generally if it starts working is the gut, actually the dog might not have a bowel movement for a day or so, because what happened is that dog has diarrhea. It's really just flushing through the system. And when the gut starts repairing itself, the body starts actually creating stools inside the animal's body and it starts backing up. And then after a day or two, you'll start actually getting normal stools or more solid stools. So that's a good sign actually if you start them on it and they don't keep up the chronic diarrhea and starts backing up, that can also help. So anyhow, if you think your dog has an issue in the gut that you can again get the dog in the vet, or you're out hunting and it's becoming chronic, your days of this, you can go ahead and try that and get on hand. It's not a cheap drug. It's about, even if you buy it through the aquatic pharmacies that are online, you're going to pay about 50 cents a pill. So you're about $1 a day. So it's not terrible, but it's not cheap at the same time. So talking to another vet friend, another drug you can use is fenbendazole. Fenbendazole is also another dewormer that can be used for coccidiosis and some of these other parasites or worms that can get into a dog's body. And it's actually you can find it at Tractor Supply, Cow Ranch, some of these places. The brand name is Panicure. It's actually a horse dewormer, but it'll say Panicure and then underneath it in parentheses 10% fenbendazole. And fenbendazole, talking to my veterinarian friend, he said that it can be a good one to use for Giardia and another different range of parasites. So that being said, it would not hurt to have fenbendazole and metronidazole on hand. Fenbendazole is, you can get it through your vet, or you can also get it over the counter at your local farm stores. Again, that is fenbendazole. Now, when it comes to the amounts of fenbendazole to give, I would Google search on what you're trying to treat for, if it's Giardia, but it's going to go off the weight of the animal, and you're going to give the dog that to help cure that. sickness that the dog is having. So fenbendazole, metronidazole. I'm going to go ahead and tell a little story here also. So we had a litter of puppies not too long ago that they were just getting done whelping. They started losing weight. They started having diarrhea. We had dewormed them. We took them to the vet's office, spent thousands of dollars trying to figure out what it was. The vet's office kept saying, oh, the dogs have parvo. And they kept doing all these parvo tests. And the test kept coming back negative. And I said, we've never had parvo in any of our puppies or anything like that. Not saying they can't pick it up, but they did 5 or 6 parvo tests and they kept coming back negative and they kept calling it parvo. And it kind of drove me nuts. So they ended up finally at a vet's office after a puppy had gone home to a client, called up. They had done some testing and they had put all these puppies on IVs and it was just kind of a big mess. And this one puppy ended up feeling better. And I said, what are we doing here? This dog has gone home. These other ones are still not doing 100%. What is the difference here? So they had had the dogs on metronidazole. That had not seemed to kick the bug that they had picked up. And I'm going to backtrack a little here. The mom, when she was whelping, we let her out into the airing area. She ended up getting into some, long story short, got into some dirty water. And I think she tracked that dirty water back into those puppies. And those puppies, as they were nursing or finishing nursing, had picked up that bug and had gotten in the inside the puppy's intestinal tract and started basically going to town there. So the metronidazole was not working. And so, make long story short, we actually ended up trying fenbendazole in Alban oral suspension. So, and those were the ones that seemed to knock it out completely. We actually ended up losing a couple puppies, which is super unfortunate. We were giving them IVs, we were giving them metronidazole. We were trying to, you know, syringe feed them, where these puppies had gone from just completely healthy and doing great to all of a sudden having these issues. And I want to share these things with you guys to hopefully save, you know, some time or give you some things that you could write down that, hey, if we have these symptoms, maybe let's try this. Because the side effects are very minimal compared to saving a dog's life. So, with Alban oral suspension, I'll just kind of tell you what that is. I got some notes here I'll share with you guys. It says Alban, so it's sulfadimethoxine. I'm probably saying that wrong. Sulfadimethoxine is an antimicrobial medication used in veterinarian medicine. It is often prescribed for the treatment of bacterial infections, specifically those caused by certain protozoa and bacteria in dogs and other animals. Oral Alban suspension typically refers to a liquid formulation of the medication that is administered orally. This suspension form makes it easier to dose the medication, especially in situations where precise dosage adjustment is needed based on the size and weight of the animal. Active ingredients are sulfadimethoxine, which belongs to the class of drugs known as sulfonamides. Sorry, I'm totally slaughtering these names, I'm sure. Alban is commonly used to treat coccidiosis, a parasite infection caused by certain protozoa, coccidia that can affect the intestines of dogs and other animals. It may also be prescribed for certain bacterial infections. So I don't know of any way you can get Alban oral suspension besides from a vet's office. But it's just sometimes veterinarians don't know your situation. And just like your kids or your dogs, sometimes you know, okay, they may have gotten into this water, they may have done these things. And so when a dog is sick, just like a human being, what are the main symptoms? Lethargy, diarrhea, and vomiting. Those are the main things. Just like humans, when we don't feel good, we're lethargic, we want to lay in bed, we don't feel good. Maybe we'll throw up or maybe we'll have diarrhea. Dogs, they're a living creature just like us. And those are main ones. Now, if your dog has some eye boogers or something like that, or it's shaking its head, obviously those things seem to be a little more minuscule. It could be just an allergies or something like that that are bugging the dog. But we're talking about bigger symptoms here. So lethargy, again, vomiting, diarrhea. So if you're seeing these things and they're chronic and the dog is not acting itself and it's not getting better after a few days or maybe less, again, you got to read your dog. These are some tools or some things you can kind of consider looking at. One, I'm going to talk about some things that maybe you can cross off the list. Okay, ingestion. Did my dog ingest anything that could have, that's blocked the intestinal tract of the animal? Did my dog eat a sock? Dogs commonly love to eat kids' socks or just socks around the house. So if you have a dog that's in the house, lots of times they'll eat socks. We've had clients' dogs that they've brought them to us and they told us they've eaten balls. Rocks is another one. If your dog stops eating, he starts acting lethargic and he is not passing a stool, that could be a possibility. And an x-ray from your vet's office could help to knock that out just to make sure the intestinal tract is clear. And you're going to want to jump on that one quicker than later because they're going to need to cut out part of that intestinal tract and stitch it back together because that'll actually cause that part of that intestinal tract to die off being blocked. So blockages, I would say, can be a really common one. So just be kind of aware of that. If the dog's lethargic, again, water, especially hunting dogs, if they're drinking out of a lake or a pond, you're looking for blood in their stools, and it's diarrhea and watery, and it stays consistent. That can be possibly they've picked up Giardia or a protozoa or some type of bug that the dog actually has a hard time absorbing protein. And what will happen, they're sloughing off protein. So they might eat or drink a lot. And then that protein is just slipping out of their body. And now because the protein isn't being absorbed and they can't hold their weight, so they're going to start getting skinny. Obviously, maybe they might start lethargic if they're not holding weight. And so again, kind of having that metronidazole or picking up some fenbendazole or something, just kind of throwing it at them, can help. Again, I'm not saying don't go to a vet's office, but sometimes these days vet's office can be hard to get them into. Or you're going out of town, or it's a weekend, or you're out hunting for a week in the Dakotas and there's no vets around, or whatever, these might be good to have on hand. So I'm going to rewind back to my puppies that had picked up this bug that we had never had this issue with. Well, so we tried metronidazole, we tried IVs, we tried actually plasma, we tried blood transfusions on them. I mean, this was thousands of dollars on these dogs that we were just working on trying to figure it out. One puppy had gone home, and the things we hadn't tried when I looked at that list, it had actually gone to another vet's office, was fenbendazole and oral albin suspension. So I told the vet, if we tried that, they said, no, we haven't. I said, why not? They said, well, we can do it. Is it going to hurt the dog? No. Okay, so let's do it. So we put them on, all the puppies on fenbendazole and oral albin suspension. I think it was, again, go off the weights that you can find online. I think it was 0.25 milliliters per pound of the dogs for the fenbendazole. And then the albin oral suspension might have been 0.5 milliliters twice a day. I'm just throwing out, I can't remember. It's been a little bit of time since we've done that. Again, research how much to give the animal. Well, we had another litter of puppies starting to come down with the same symptoms. And the puppies that had come, we actually had some puppies come back from the vet's office that they were starting to eat. They were starting to gain a little weight, but their stools were a little bit loose. So I put all those puppies on fenbendazole and albin oral suspension. With a day or two, they were completely, their stools were completely back to normal. Their energy was back. They started putting on weight. They started eating, and they were completely fine after that and have had no issues ever since then. So it took drugs and IVs and all these different things to kind of try to figure out what the heck was going on with these dogs. And to this day, we don't really know exactly what it was. We know it wasn't Giardia because we had like 6 tests done. And because, again, Giardia, you're basically just trying to keep them hydrated and let it run its course and kind of get them through it. Or not Giardia, I'm sorry. Having a brain fart. It'll come to me. Parvo. Parvo is the one that's a puppy killer. And the, according to my knowledge, you got to run through the IV, keep fluids in them, keep them eating, and let them work that through. It was not Parvo because we did all these tests. They kept coming back negative. So it was something else that these puppies, it was really working these dogs. And it was more, they were fine up until they were weaning them off mother's milk. And then when they started coming off mother's milk, that's where we saw the issue. So, going to go back to this. If you have a puppy or you have a dog that's acting sick, again, a lot of stuff is in the gut. And now, if your dog obviously has cancer or something severe like this, obviously metronidazole or any of these is not going to fix that. You're going to have to go and actually get the dog in the vet, do blood work, really find out what's going on, if there's an organ issue or something along the lines. I would say just being around dogs for 17 years, that is going to be a rarity, especially in your younger dogs, having an issue with organs or cancer or something along those lines. I'd say most of it is environmental, picking it up in the field, picking it up in the marsh, you know, these type things. So things I would recommend, again, having on hand or kind of having in the back of your mind, metronidazole, fenbendazole. If you need to, try some albinoral suspension. You're going to have to pick that up to your vet or maybe recommend it or say, hey, what do you think about this? Is this a possibility that we could try? You know, after we ran these puppies and worked them through these things, of course, we gave them probiotics to rebuild the gut to help them put the good bacteria back in their gut after we had cleaned the bugs out that they had picked up. And we kept a puppy out of that litter to this day. No issues. Stools are fine and dogs are doing great. So if I would have maybe known these things, I could have maybe saved myself thousands of dollars and kind of almost assisted, you know, the vet and kind of, hey, could we try these things? You know, is this going to really hurt the dog if we try these things or give them these options, and maybe could have cleaned things out a little faster? Again, I'm not a vet. I'm not a professional on it. These are just things that I've seen that have worked for, you know, my dogs or clients' dogs that have come in and had issues. So let's just kind of do a quick review again, and then we'll wrap this puppy up. But again, I would recommend having a stapler if you can get to staple wounds together. I would recommend my brain is also not iodine that you can use to kind of flush the wounds out, some syringes to be able to do so, some gauze to wrap the ACE bandages, metronidazole, fenbendazole. Also wouldn't hurt to get some amoxicillin that you can have on hand. Amoxicillin can also be used for certain things. And again, you can get these all through the aquatic pharmacies. It's kind of a loophole that you can have some of these drugs on hand, because most of the time a vet is not going to give them to you. So again, there is potential side effects, and you can read the side effects and decide on those. But again, I would say these are, if you can't get them into a vet, kind of going to be a last resort thing. So anyhow, hopefully everyone's having a good hunting season. Hopefully your dogs are all safe. All of them are healthy. But keep an eye out on these things. And I say these things, I'm going to refer to, have these things on hand. And again, when you look at your animal, if he starts acting not normal, just like if you have your child, something's up, he's acting weak, he's not being himself, and this stays prolonged, and the dog, you know, has chronic diarrhea or chronic throw up and it's not getting better, that is an alarm. So you're going to want to look, and I would say if it doesn't get better, this is just me, after 2-3 days, symptoms are staying the same, you know, you're going to want to get that dog into a vet's office. And if you can't get them in, maybe some of these things that we shared with you today could help you out. So anyhow, everyone, hope you're having a great day. Hopefully these things can help you out. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we will see you in the next show. If you have any questions, please feel free to email us at thebirddogpodcast@gmail.com. You can also go ahead and follow us on Instagram. Please like, subscribe, share it, do whatever. Let's build this puppy, and we'll try to get some more podcasts out here for you guys and share some information that can be of value to you guys. So if you have any things that you're interested in or you want us to talk about, go ahead and you can also DM us on Instagram there, or again, shoot us an email. If you're interested in advertising or marketing on the podcast, go ahead and feel free to reach out to us. And if it's a product that we believe in or like, we will also consider that. So thanks, everyone. Have a great day and good hunting.